Well, good evening, folks.
Good evening.
It sure is good to be in the Lord's house, isn't it? Be with God's people and be blessed to the Lord. Enjoy that singing. Brother Buddy, it won't be long. We'll be home with Jesus. Sir. That's wonderful. Praise God. I think we've had a good meeting. The weather's cold tonight, and I guess that keeps a few folks in, but we're glad to see you. And I trust that the meeting's been a blessing and helped everyone. My purpose of being here is to obey the Lord above everything, bring glory to His name. And I have a desire to help the pastor and help the church. And I hope that has happened in this meeting. Certainly, I apologize for being late, but we came up Interstate 40 and got on Mississippi. And it was backed up all the way to I-40. And so I don't know what was happening on Mississippi Parkway. But whatever it was, we had to swing around and come through Lenore City. But we got here almost on time because Brother Eagle's driving for me, and he drives like an eagle. Yeah, he got me going. Yes, sir. He apologized for getting me here late. And I said, well, brother, you got us here almost on time, and we had to make all that round. So I got a good driver, and that's good. Amen. Well, we got some visitors. My grandson, Zach, his wife, Kelsey, and Delaney is along. Don't believe Layton's along. They was down at the house Thanksgiving. We had about 25, I guess, at the house of the kids, grandkids. And, of course, Delaney, she's the oldest great-grandchild. And so three of them, the little fellow, he don't know yet, but he's just 6 months old. But the three girls, this is the way women folk are, you know. I'm sitting over there, and they come over there, and they said, Delaney said, we need to have a meeting with you. She said, we need to have a meeting with you, Papa. And I said, well, okay. What's the meeting about? And she said, we want money. We want money. And her little sister, she's 18 months? And she said, Papa, money. And then the other one. And so I said, well, we'll see what we do. I said, how much money do you want? And Delaney said, $1. I said, $1. She said, no, $2. So the women folks, they just keep going up. I mean, they learn at an early age, don't you think? Yes, sir. So, boys, if you're going to, the thing about this now, if you're going to marry, you got a house of money. Okay? You got to look after your wife and provide for her. Isn't that good? That's a privilege, though, isn't it?
Yeah.
Yes, sir. What a privilege. Well, let me say this. You know, when I was growing up on the farm, and my grandmother, mother, and them, and then at the little country church where we went, they always told us about the Lord. They told us about heaven, told us about hell. And my grandmother would pull us all together, and she'd talk to us, and she'd tell us stories. We called them telling us tales. And she'd get us all around her, and she's the best psychologist I ever saw. And she'd talk to us about the Lord, and then she'd say, children, I want to tell you something now. You don't want to go to torment. You don't want to go to that place called torment. Oh, you do not want to go to hell. And I'm praying for you. And I'm praying the Lord will save you. Well, time went on, and I got 10 years of age. And I went to that, what they call protracted meetings. And what we did in Georgia in those days, we always had day services in the summer, and then we'd have night services. And sometimes you'd have 2 weeks of meeting. And So we moved along there, and they always on Saturday, everybody took out, and everyone would come. That Saturday morning, they might preach the church all the week, but Saturday morning, the old preacher would have a message to people that were lost. And my older sister, she's 3 years older than me, and she came that morning to get saved, and God saved her. And I got moved myself at age 10, and I really wanted to get saved. But you need to hear this, young folks, and we need to hear it middle age or whatever. I want to get saved because I think this is the way it was. I did not want to go to hell. So I want to get saved because I did not want to go to hell. Now, that's a good reason to get saved, but that's not the first reason, is it? There's three things about getting saved. When the Spirit of God has come, He will reprove the world. He'll reprove the world of sin. And see, I knew I was a sinner, but I was just interested in one thing, and that was not going to hell. So I made a profession. I got baptized. Become a member of the church. Didn't anything change? I didn't care nothing about church. I wasn't against church necessarily, but didn't care anything about it. Really, I'd just go occasionally as I grew up and things moved along. But then when I was 20 years of age, or in that same country church, the Spirit of God dealt with me, showed me I was a lost sinner, showed me that I was a sinner, and that I did not have the righteousness of God, and the only thing that was righteous enough, the only one that was righteous enough to get me to heaven was the Lord Jesus. And I came that night, and I was weeping over my sin at 20 years of age. And I came down that altar, and I told God everything I need to tell Him, that I knew to tell Him, pleaded with Him to save me. And I told God, if You'll save me, I'll do anything You want me to do. You know, if you ever get saved, really get saved, nothing else is going to matter right then. That's the most important thing that's going to be on your mind. And if there's anything more important than that, then you're probably not just as ripe enough as you ought to be to really get saved. Because that was all that mattered to me that night. I wanted to get saved. And so I prayed. I did everything I knew to do. I sat down on the old, they called them mourner's benches. And the reason they called them mourner's benches, we in those days, and a lot of people would be a lot better off if they believe this today, we come and they invited sinners to come to mourn over their sins. Get their sins under the blood of Christ. And so, the preacher, he had a Bible about the size of yours, Pastor. And he brought that Bible down there and he said, "Young man, are you saved?" And I said, "No, I don't think so. I don't really know, just, you know." So he opened that big Bible. And he read from me John 5:24. "Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that heareth my word." You got to hear the word of God. And then you got to respond to the word of God. "He that heareth my word and believeth on me," as it hath, right now, present tense. Not a gradual thing. God saved you. You grow in grace. "Have everlasting life. And shall not come into condemnation. Shall not ever come into judgment. But is passed from death unto life." He read that to me. And you know what he did? He closed that big Bible up. And I was sitting there. And he looked me straight in my eyes. And he said, "Now, young man, what are you going to do? Are you going to believe God? Believe this Bible and believe God?" or are you going to sit there and go to hell? He closed that Bible up, turned his back on me, walked about this far, and the light come on in my soul. And I want to tell you, ever since that day, the light of God has been in my soul. I know the Lord, and I have known Him and been talking to Him, and He's been talking to me for better than 61 years. Isn't that wonderful? That a person gets saved forever from their sin. I'm glad I got saved from my sin. Don't mean that I've never done anything wrong, but I'll tell you, there's a person who lives inside of me. His name's the Lord Jesus. Through the power of the Holy Spirit, He lives in me. God, the Holy Spirit, lives in me. And He lets me know when I'm wrong. And when He does, I get right. I repent. I repent. We've got a lot of cheap gospel in these days. A lot of religion. Not much Jesus. Now, I drink water because I got allergies. That's a good excuse as any, isn't it? All right. We started on Sunday morning talking about the importance of the Word of God. And I say this to you, I want to say this to all of you. If this is God's Word, and it is, it's the most important thing that you'll ever put in your hand. I'm not asking, is it the Word of God? I know it's the Word of God. I believe I can take the Bible and prove to you it's the Word of God. But if I could not prove to you academically that this is the Word of God, if I could not do that, I still know it's the Word of God because I have tried to live by it and practice it now for going on 62 years, and I've had enough of walk with God and experience of walking with Jesus Christ that I know I've got His Word. Amen? Somebody said, well, I don't like folks talk about experiences that they've had. Well, the wrong kind of talk about that is wrong, but if you're talking about biblical experiences from the Word of God, I'm telling you, if you don't believe in having the experience of knowing the Lord, you probably don't know Him. I remember when I got saved, and I told you a little bit about it, right? And then we moved, and we talked about the first day of the week. I'm telling you, America's about lost. The importance of the first day of the week. First day of the week is the Lord's day. That's the day you're supposed to be down at the house of God. You're supposed to be down there with your family. You got children, you ought to be there with them. And you ought to be hearing the man of God that's found the Scriptures. You ought to come to worship the risen Christ. He's risen, He's not here. And I bless Him that He is risen. He's not here. And the first day of the week, and then we move to the home. There's nothing more important than your home of getting ready to come to church. We need good, strong homes. America, folks, is in trouble. And we're in big trouble. Will we know it or not? We are in extremely big trouble. And if you're in a Bible preaching, Bible believing church, and you got your home in order, you stay with that and just keep going on with God. Okay? That's so important. That is. That's the most important you can do, sir. You're supposed to be the head of the home. The most important thing you can do is get your family on the Word of God and lead them in the right direction and know what this Bible teaches yourself. Amen. I don't go a day without this book. And I learn something every day. The Lord and I meet each other every day. You won't find anything more important than that. I'm going to get the message in a minute, but I'm just going to retract a little bit. All right, last night I preached on the curse of alcohol. I didn't have to put up with a lot of that as far as it being around us. You know, they didn't sell it. We had probation in this country. Amen. Couldn't sell it. But for greed reasons, they found out they get tax dollars and men could get rich over it, and they got it everywhere now. Makes me sick to go to the grocery store. See that junk. It'll damn your home, it'll damn your soul, it'll damn your children. It's damning this country.
Amen.
That's one of the greatest sins. I was talking to Brother Eagle coming over. I said, I don't know. I said, the first thing is the Word of God people's turned their back on. But then they forgot what Sunday is. It's the Lord's Day. It's the Lord's Day. Not the day to go deer hunting. Not the day to go to Dollywood. Amen. I might do a little rebuking. Would that be all right? I'm so far down the road now, it's close to heaven. I don't want to be a mean preacher, but I want to tell the truth. I don't want to be mean. No, I don't want to do that. I just wouldn't want to do that, but I do want to tell the truth. So tonight, I'm preaching. And we're going to move into some areas where we've got the title of the whole message. And one of these days I'm going to put it in book. The title of the whole message is How Did We Get Where We Are? That's what I'm preaching on. Now, I want to read from three places. And 2 Chronicles 36. There's three times in the Bible, just three, that the Bible said there was no remedy. No remedy. Only three times. Nowhere in the New Testament at all, but it's in the Old Testament. In verse 15 of 2 Chronicles 36, the Bible said, "And the Lord God of their fathers sent to them by his messengers, rising up be the times, and sending, because he had compassion on his people and on his dwelling place." God sent his message many times. Why did God send his message many times? He had compassion. Somebody said, well, why is God letting things go like they are? Why is the Lord allowing things to go on like they are? Because God is a God of love. God is a God of patience. And God is a God of long suffering. 2 Peter 3 said in verse 9, "The Lord is not slack concerning his promises, but his long suffering unto usward, not willing that any should perish, but all come to repentance." I believe the reason God is letting sin go on in our society like it's going on, with the sodomy that's being practiced and same-sex marriages is being practiced, and the alcohol and all of the worldliness of our day that's going on. I believe that God is such a long-suffering God that he wants people like you. If you're not saved, he wants you to get saved. But one of these days, the Lord is going to bring the judgment of God on this earth and upon those that reject Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. Sometimes when you preach this, people think you're angry at them, and you know, God never would let a person go to hell. You better not believe that. There are just two places to go. One of them is heaven, the other is hell. And you're either prepared for one or the other, even as I speak. Amen? What's the reading of the Word of God? But they mock the messenger of God. A lot of people mock you for preaching what I'm preaching tonight. They'll mock you for talking about there's a place called hell. They mock churches like this that believes the Bible. Amen. They mock preachers like me. And I'm sorry they do, but they're the loser, not me. And they despised His words. People despise God's words in this day. And misused His prophets, His preachers. We don't have prophets like the Old Testament prophets, but we have prophets in this day, men that preach the Word of God. He goes on to say, until the wrath of God arose against His people, till there was no remedy. There was no remedy as this thing moves on. Well, we are in these days, I don't know how close we are, but God is a long-suffering God, as I quoted a while ago, but the day will come when justice must be done and judgment must come, and I don't know when that'll be, and you don't know when that'll be, and no man on this earth knows when that'll be. But it will be, because God said it would be. And there's not anything in this book that God has ever said that He would do that He has not done or He will do. Right? So, there's two other verses in the Bible. One of them is found in Proverbs. Chapter 6 and verse 15. That tells us the same story. Or same fact. Proverbs 6:15. Therefore shall his calamity. He's talking about man that lives a life of sin. And we could read all of that, but we won't. What's going to happen? His calamity comes suddenly. Suddenly shall he be broken without remedy. Now, folks, listen. We're just little men, mankind. Ladies are men. We're just little man. Did you know that? But God said the day's coming in when there is not going to be any remedy for man's sin. There's a remedy tonight. There's a remedy. I'm glad. Way back there when I was 20 years of age, that God had a remedy. And the remedy was the Lord Jesus Christ. And God said to me, through His Word and through His preacher, if I would come to the Lord Jesus Christ, and if I would repent of my sins, turn from my sins, take sides with God against my ways and my sins, and if I would turn from my way and turn to God's way in repentance toward God, bow to Him as Lord, bow to Him as Savior, and come to Him by faith and trust Him that He would save me from my sin. Now, a lot of that I didn't understand. Basically, about all I understood was this, that all men are lost sinners and all men need to be saved. And if all mankind will come to Christ with repentance toward God and faith in Jesus Christ, God will save them. But nobody is good enough to go to heaven in their own righteousness. There's only one righteousness and one righteousness alone that'll get you to heaven, and that is the righteousness of Jesus Christ. And when you get Him, you've got all you'll ever need. He's alive. He's alive. Boy, there's enough deadness in this world, in this old dead religion. Praise God for what Jesus done for me is all I know. I bless Him for what He has done. I want to go to one other verse, Proverbs 29 and verse 1. I'm reading those three places where the Bible said there was no remedy. I don't know when you're going to die. I don't know when I'm going to die. But I'm glad I got that took care of when I do go. Don't have to worry about me. Just meet me there. Look what it said. He that being often reproved. That's what I'm doing, trying to do it in the right spirit right now, tonight. I'm trying to reprove anyone that's lost that doesn't know the Lord. And tell them that the only way to be saved is to come to Christ Jesus. He that being often reproved. What are we reproving men about? About their sin. Sin. Somebody said, well, I made a mistake. Nobody sins anymore. You know, we water everything down. So everybody just makes mistakes. Is that right? Isn't that about the way that we put it? But I want to tell you, it's not that way. It's not a mistake. It's sin. If I walk out here tonight and curse before I get to the car, or curse in the morning, oh, Brother Bearden, you know, he's just getting some age on him and he just made a mistake. No, old Brother Bearden, you're sin. And I don't make a habit of cursing. I don't practice that. When God cleaned up my heart, He cleaned up my mouth. Amen. From the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaking. And if you've got a filthy mouth, you've got a filthy heart. You got a filthy mouth, you got a black heart. And if you got a filthy mouth and a black heart, you're a sinner. You need to repent. Yes, amen. You need to come to Christ. He being often reproved and hardened his neck. Harden his neck. You know you can harden your neck. In fact, most of America is hardening their neck in this day. If I could go back and tell you how far we've gone as a nation since I was born in this world at the end of the Depression, or we're still in the Depression, you could not believe how far we've gone from God. Amen. And so we've tried to make religion easy, where you can just go any way you want to go and do whatever you want to do. And if you want to practice whatever you want to practice, just have enough religion to make you think you're all right. Is that right or is that wrong? If that's got to be right, because that's what the Bible said. All right, watch this. Watch this. He that often reproved, hardened his neck, shall suddenly be destroyed, and that without remedy. I went to school with a young man. His name was Roy Casey. Roy was not a mean fellow, I don't think, but he liked a drag race. And Roy was still in high school. Maybe he had just graduated. Redbud, where I went to school, there in Georgia. And we was in revival meeting, and God was working, the Holy Spirit was working, and the preacher was preaching against sin, and he was preaching on salvation, and how that you don't need religion, you need Jesus. You need salvation. And I was sitting back there. pretty close to Roy. And there were some people that had a real burden for him. There's a person that had a real burden for him. And they went back and spoke to Roy and said, Roy, why don't you come and let us pray with you? And why don't you come and receive the Lord tonight? Why don't you come and get saved? And he sat there and he stiffened his neck and he was not mean, but he just said, no. No, I'm not coming. That is this week. The meeting's over the next week on Friday night on 53 Highway coming out of Rome, Georgia, going to Calhoun, Georgia, where I grew up. He and a group of boys was down on a good straightway, and then you come up and it's not just such a good straightaway. And it was probably 1 o'clock in the morning, and they were racing. And they side by side. But in the midst of that, there was a putwood truck that had broke down. And it was loaded with putwood. There was no lights on it. And they were running at least 100 miles an hour. And Roy hit that putwood truck. And guess where Roy was? Immediately, he was in eternity. You don't have time. Maybe you don't have time. God might call you home. I don't know what happened on Pellissippi Parkway, but I wondered before I got here tonight. I thought, oh, something bad going on down there. It's just not ordinary for a four-lane highway to be closed completely down and everybody sitting still. Listen, young people, listen, middle-aged folks, listen to you and I. All of us need to listen. We may not have tomorrow to reach that one that we love, that one that we want to see saved. I think a lot about this. I lay awake at night and pray. I pray for all my family. I pray for my grandchildren. I pray for my great-grandchildren before they ever was born. I prayed to God to bring them to Christ. Brother Eagle, I think one of the saddest thoughts I ever have is when I think about, will the family circle be unbroken when we get to heaven? That's the saddest thought I ever have. Can you think of anything, Brother Bud, that's any more sad than that? Pastor, can you think of anything more sad than the things that you've got flesh and blood? Sit at the same table, eat the same food, slept in the same bed, went to the same schools, went to the same church. Some of them got a little religion, but they didn't get Jesus. And they're lost forever. It's too late. Too late. I wonder throughout this day just how this was going to go. I didn't have this plan. I woke up sometime during the night, about 3 o'clock, I believe, or 4. And I was praying and talking to the Lord. Lord, what's it going to be? What's it going to be tomorrow night or tonight? And he brought this to my mind. I've never preached this. And there will be no remedy. The church, listen. If we've ever got serious about the work of God and the business of God, there's never been a time that we ought to be more serious than we are now. There's never been a time when many people are confused and many people are deceived and many people is lost around us on every hand as they are now. And there's one remedy, and that's salvation in the Lord Jesus Christ. You see, we really got in trouble. In the 60s, In the 60s, the Supreme Court said, 62-63, after the feminist movement, the Supreme Court said that it's unlawful to have the reading of the Word of God, God's Word, in prayer in our public education. When you kick God out of your life, you kick God out of your home, you kick God out of your school, you kick God out of anything, and God will let you run it the way you want to run it. But you know how you're going to run it? You're going to run it straight to hell.
Amen.
That's what you're going to do. But you know what most Americans believe? Well, the Supreme Court said it. That's where it ought to be. And that's right, because that's what they said. I don't believe it's right. People do anything for money. Greed. When I went to school at Redbud, the state didn't have any say in our education. The school board did. This is the way the devil works. I tell you what. See, I'm going way back. I tell you what. You send the right representatives down there and they'll give money from Atlanta to all the schools. But what they didn't tell them was, they'll tell you how to run it. That was their first pitfall. Well, they got some extra money, and now Washington tells them. You come to, let the federal government fund you, and we'll tell you what to do. And they did. You can't read the Word of God. I don't know what I'd be for putting the Bible in reading on a regular basis, and prayer back in school, because they'd have the Koran there. They'd have all these mixed bags there, but we've lost our heritage. I want to apologize to you young people. We have lost our heritage. I want to apologize to my grandchildren, my great-grandchildren. We've lost our heritage in this country. You dear young people, God bless your hearts. You're fine people. But you get in the Word of God and find out where you are. Well, we took the Word of God out. Did you know our academic scores has gone down ever since? They don't know what to do with students anymore. Zach's wife, she works with children. But I would say this, that she don't know hardly what to do with them. Isn't that right? They are wild as bucks. They don't know who they are. They don't know where they're going. And they make fun of people like us. I know where I came from. I know where I am. And I know where I'm going. A lot of people don't know that. They think they're smart. Amen. Am I meddling too much? I'm not meddling, really. I'm just preaching. Proof. So that happened, and the Beatles come along, and now in the average church, they got more rock music than they got God. God's not in 1,000 miles of that mess. Somebody needs to say something about it. Don't they? So we moved along now, and it's happened since the 60s. You ought to go vote, and you ought to vote for the person that's going to put somebody conservative on the Supreme Court. If you can vote for somebody who believes in killing babies, I don't know how you could know God.
Amen. Yes, amen.
I don't know how you can know God. The Supreme Court said in 1973. See, how did we get here? That a woman has a right to make it in simple terms, if she don't want the baby that she has in her body, she's got a right to kill it. And everybody seems to be happy with that. We're so happy with it that we've killed about 60 million now. I want to ask you something. You think God's going to keep putting up with that? We have reached a point, if some people don't get to God, we've reached a point, if some people don't get to God, you better listen to this, Elder Warrock preacher, we are close to the point that there's no remedy. But there's remedy for your soul. You know, I was down in a, you can say whatever you like, but I was down in that little Mexican church down in South Carolina. I'm glad you're supporting that. When I preach down there, I'm telling you, God's working in that place. I think we're doing wrong. I believe we ought to have a wall. I believe people ought to come here legal. I believe in all that. But God has allowed it for some reason for them to come to this country. We've killed their workforce. What would them 60 million do if we was going to fight a war? You'd think, you know, that we'd have a little common sense. Is that not just common sense? I didn't go to Yale, but that's common sense. I mean, you know, you just need some down-to-earth horse sense. That's what they called it back home. When I was growing up, they said they don't have no horse sense. Just common. Boys, have a little horse sense. A horse knows where that he's fed. The ox knows where to get his grain. But America is so deceived, they don't know where they are. But most of them is on their way to destruction and torment. And I don't want them to go there. I'm not preaching this because I'm against anybody. But I'm standing with God. Okay? I'm standing with the Lord. You know what? I don't know all that they do with them little babies, but they sell the parts of them. These movie stars are having all that really expensive lotion and all. They take the blood. And they're crying out to God. I'm telling you, God is going, God's. You think God's long-suffering? Judgment's coming. You know, judgment is coming. There is no remedy. I don't know if we may be over the line. We may be over the line. Well, that means we don't need a church then, do we? Need it worse than we've ever needed it. Your family needs a church. I need a church. Amen. Your family needs a church, and you need a Bible church worse than you ever needed. But I'm not just talking about church. We need God. Because without God, you don't have no church. All you got's a, you know, a lot of these places got steeples that call them churches. They're not churches. A church is where the Word of God's preached, where God raised it up. And He's got a candlestick there, and there's some light there. And if you go and the preacher preaches, you can get saved. Amen. If I'm going to join a country club, I'll just go to the country club. I won't go to the church. You got a better shot probably getting saved later. I won't go to some of the place that calls it a church and it's nothing but a recreation center. It's God, if you're going to play ball, play it out somewhere else. But when you come to church, come to worship. kill them little babies. How can five people or six people on court decide that babies need to be killed? If a day ever comes, I always vote for president. If a day ever comes, Pastor, that both peoples run president is for killing babies, I'm not even going to vote.
Amen.
I can't vote for somebody like that. I am not going to be a partaker of their wickedness. I hope I haven't drove this thing so far it's in the ground and can't get out. But we need the truth. But old time religion, a lot of folks don't want it. But I am telling you, it'll turn you around forever. You won't go back to the bottle, and you won't go back to the ways of sin and ungodliness. You'll find a place where you can get to the Bible and live right and live holy and be decent. We need some decency in this society. Amen. I started something last night. This is what sin does. I got it right here. Alcohol abuse in the U.S. costs us as taxpayers $200 billion a year. I gave you a little bit of that last night. I think we need to let that soak a little. $200 billion. We could be building roads. We could be, you know, there was a day when our Congress printed Bibles. The groups that's in Washington now would have you to believe that the Pilgrims did not believe in God and that this nation was not established on the Word of God, but it was. We are not any longer a Christian nation. I don't know that we've ever been. We've never been a complete Christian nation. I had an uncle. Name was Boy Stone. I hope I'm not preaching too long for the kids. And Boyce was lost. He was a decent man. He is a farmer. I want to tell you how far we've come. Will you younger people listen to me? And in Georgia, like it is in Tennessee a lot of times, we were cotton farmers and corn farmers, and your money crop was your cotton, and you had to work that cotton, and the grass was growing because we'd had so much rain. But one thing that lost people didn't do, they didn't work on the Lord's Day. We've drifted so far from this book that we don't even know it. And this, I know it's not popular, but it's right. So my Uncle Boyce Stone, he had a farm all tractor. And that Sunday, he plowed all Sunday in them bottoms. Well, the little store up on the hill was not open on Sunday, but Monday, the Spit and the Whittle Club always met. That's them that chew tobacco and spit and cut wood and talk about everything that's going on. Most of them were lost. You know what the story was on that Monday? You all know what happened yesterday? No. What happened yesterday? Boy Stone plowed cotton in them bottoms all day yesterday. He did what? This is lost people talking. He did what? He plowed in those bottoms. He said his cotton was growing up and he had to get the grass out. I guess he felt pretty good about it until about Tuesday or Wednesday. I forgot which day it was. God sent a hailstorm. Went right down through that valley. Didn't touch nobody else's cotton. Knocked every leaf off. There wasn't none but stems. You know what my uncle said? I don't know how long I'll live, but I'll never plow another stalk of cotton on the Lord's day. It wasn't too long after that, God saved me in that country church. I feel sorry for this generation. 300 years ago, you know what? You know who started the hospitals? You know who started the schools in this country? Christians. Well, when we came to Kingston, most of the hospitals was run by Christians. I mean, at least Christian name. Oak Ridge Methodist, the Baptist in Knoxville, so on and so forth. Most jobs for ladies was nurses, secretaries. I'm telling you, folks, we've come a long way. And if you don't believe them right, look what it's produced. Look what it's produced. Don't cater. Don't give in here. Keep staying with the stuff. Stand with the preacher. Stand with the Word of God. Do what's right. You'll be glad you did. I would say now that some of you men need to go home. And you probably may at one time have had time of reading your Bible. Maybe the evening when all the family was around the table. You had family altar. You read the Bible. Maybe you never have done that. I remember when Sue and I got married and the kids started coming along and I was called to preach. I'd never been around that. So I didn't know. I just felt kind of out of place. I'm just being honest with you. But I knew it was right. I knew it was right. So I started reading the Bible to my kids and my wife and we started praying together. We pray together. We still pray together. Talk about the Bible. And if it's a little awkward, just do it. And then you young people, you get up early enough. You meet God in the morning with that Bible. You read and you walk with God. You learn to walk with God. I'm trying to help you. I'm not angry at nobody. I get a little loud every once in a while, but that's just kind of my style. But build your home. Build your homes. Build your homes. When we had 60 years of me preaching and Sue and I being married at Calvary, my oldest son spoke, Mitch. And he spoke. About 30 minutes, they had more than that, but he spoke. And he said, Dad used to read those Proverbs to us. Dad read them Proverbs to us? And I thought, what in the world is he reading so much of them Proverbs? But he said, now I know why he read so much of those Proverbs. Fill your children's mind. The system we've got. And I feel sorry for people who's trying to educate their children. Our universities, most of them is not fit to send your kids to. The communists have decided they're going to destroy us. They may have us.
That's right.
This stuff they call socialism in Knoxville, not Knoxville, well, Knoxville too. But Washington, D.C., you know what it is? It's communism.
Yes, sir.
That's what it is. I'd rather be dead. It's red. And I'm like Patrick Henry. They taught me this, Redbud. Give me liberty or give me death. I want to be a free American. Zach don't know this, but two of the hardest times in my life was when we'd go to Camp Lejeune. He was going to Iraq. Spent two terms there. Zach's here tonight, Marine Corps. And I pray for Zach every day. But boy, in them days, I prayed more than every day. I mean, I kept here. I remember one occasion, I woke up in the night. And I felt like he's in real trouble. Listen, I couldn't go help him, but I knew one that could. That was a lot better than if I'd have been there. You know what Zach told me? He said, "Papa," I said, "I don't understand this." I said, "We went out there and we went the same way every day for 3 days. Just patrolling." But on the third day, he said, "One of them Iraqis came out there and said, 'Do you know that you run over?'" Well, what do they call those mines? Said, "You've crossed that 3 times. The last 3 days you've crossed." Zach said, we thought, "Well, he don't know what he's talking about. He's an Iraqi." And said, "We called the bomb squad and they came." And said, "There it was." It might have been somebody's prayers that kept it from going off. If you know the God that I know, and you know the God that Abraham knew, and the God that Isaac knew, and the God that David knew, and the God that Paul knew, there's things you can get done you can't get done no other way. And one thing you can get done, you can get rid of your sins, and praise God, you can go to heaven and miss hell. I'm done preaching. I should have been done a long time ago. We're standing. Some of you may want to make some real solid commitments tonight to the Lord. Some of you may need to come and get saved. Some of you may see some shortcomings in your life, shortcomings in your home, shortcomings at work. And you may want to come and say, "God, forgive me." You may want to fill this altar up. I wish you'd come if you need to. Have you let down the guard? Have you let down the guard? Is there somebody you're praying for and you don't know? I heard Brother Bud say the other night, "Thrill my soul." He said, "You know, my mother prayed for me. He said, she went to be with the Lord and I got saved. God bottled up her tears and God remembered her prayers. And God brought old Brother Bud in. He's so sweet. I tell you, I like to hear him sing. I like to hear all you folks. There's an altar open for you. Some of you men maybe want to come and say,